Good morning to you once again. It's nice to have all of you here. We could try and get a little bit warmer, but I think this is warm enough for us. It's a special Sunday for us because we're having a baptism, as John mentioned, and Bobby's getting baptized. And so we thought we'd just share some thoughts about what is baptism. And if you have a bulletin, we have a little outline there in it. Why is baptism important? That's maybe the title of some thoughts that we're going to have today. Why do people get baptized? And is it joining a church, or is it joining a denomination or a club, or does it save you? What is the deal with baptism? Why is that important? Well, just to explain a few things to start with, the word baptize really means to dip or immerse or submerge. That's the actual meaning of the word. In the original language that the Bible was written, the New Testament, the word used was baptismo, which means that, to dip or to immerse or submerge. But when it was translated, unfortunately, it was what we call a transliteration. They took the word and baptismo and just made a new English word out of it, baptize. So that's why we have the word baptize. It really should be to dip or to submerge. So think about that as we talk. It doesn't mean to pour or sprinkle. It does not mean that at all. It means to go under water, to dip or immerse. So we could talk about what is Christian baptism, and I thought of several things that describe it. It is a symbol to start with, just a symbol. It's really a symbol of one's identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's saying, I belong to Him. It's making a public statement, we could say, of allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking of examples of symbols. For instance, some of us wear wedding rings or engagement rings, and a ring, that doesn't marry us to someone else. That's simply a symbol that we're married to that person. What marries us are the vows that we give when we get married. And we make these vows saying, I will always be with you and honor you and be faithful to you and so on. But then we wear a ring to show that we're married, and in this case, to a certain person. So it's a symbol. It's a similar thing with baptism. It's just a symbol saying that I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm following Him, and I want to make a public gesture of this to indicate to everyone, I am a believer. I am a follower of Christ. He is, as we were singing, Adonai, He is my master. Same idea joining the military. One makes a commitment to obey the Constitution of the country when they join the military. But then to show that they belong to the military, they wear a uniform. And that indicates to others that they belong to the military. The uniform doesn't make them belong to the military. It's that oath to the Constitution. The uniform is just a symbol of that. Similar thing with baptism. The Lord commanded it. We know that in Matthew 28:19. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them or immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In other words, it was important enough to say, well, I believe, but as an outward profession of what I believe, I need to be baptized. It's just an indication. It's important because it's a witness to others, to other believers, family members, to people in the church, and to God. It's a public declaration of what I really believe or what one believes inside. It's an outward demonstration of an inward reality. Maybe I'll repeat that. An outward demonstration of an inward reality. It follows belief in Christ. A person comes to know the Lord Jesus, starts following the Lord Jesus, turns from the things of the world, the sins and so on that they were doing, and makes a, we call that repentance, makes a change, puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. The faith saves them. They're forgiven of their sin, and then they are baptized to show that they have done this in the past. What happened with Bobby, for instance, when he was about 16, he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I no longer want to follow the things of the world. I want to follow Jesus Christ. He turned from things of the world, the sins of the world, and put his trust in Jesus Christ. That was 11 years ago. And now he wants to be baptized. We're really thankful for that, to indicate to others of what happened in the past. Again, the baptism doesn't save him. It's his faith in Jesus Christ that saves him, or saves any one of us. But the baptism is just an indication of that, just a symbol. It's not joining a church. It's not joining, doesn't mean you join this church or whatever church. It doesn't mean you join a denomination or any kind of organization. It's not that at all. It's simply a symbol, a demonstration of a reality of what's going on in one's life. I've used a couple of illustrations in different talks before, but I think they're so important. I remember once hearing about a Chinese foreign student that was in this country. His father belonged to the party, the Chinese Communist Party, and the son received a scholarship here in the United States and so came to study. He was an atheist, but in going to the university that he was attending, he heard about a Bible study and started attending that for whatever reason. He was curious. And through the Bible study, he heard about Jesus Christ and the need to have forgiveness of one's sin by trusting in Christ. So it came, he got convicted, and he put his trust in Jesus Christ and received forgiveness for his sin. Well, he wrote his father after that and said, Dad, there's been a change in my life. I know you're a member of the Communist Party. I know you're an atheist, and I was an atheist. Now I have belief that there is a God, and I put my trust in him, and I need to tell you this. His father wrote him back. This was the days of no emails and stuff like that. It was letters. But he wrote him back, and he said, you know, son, that's okay. I understand that's a personal decision on your part. I can't rule you. I can't make you do exactly what I want you to do. You know, I don't agree with this, but it's your personal choice. But then he said, don't get baptized. Don't get baptized. Why did he say that? Because he knew, the father knew, that when he got baptized, he was telling everybody now publicly, I am a Christian. In the past, I put my faith and trust in Christ, and now I want everybody to know. And that would bring this honor to his father, that publicly he was declaring his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So it's the same with Bobby today. Not that he wrote his dad, I'm not saying that. But Bobby has done the same thing. He's put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he wants to be baptized to show others of his love for the Lord and his faith in the Lord. We're just going to look at a little bit of scripture. If you have a Bible, I'd like you to open up to Romans chapter 6. Here we have the spiritual significance of baptism. So Romans chapter 6. Paul the Apostle wrote the church in Rome about a number of things, and one of these was the idea that we turn from our sin and we turn to Christ, there's a new life. And there's perhaps three key words here that are important in this passage. In chapter 6, verse 6, the word knowing is there. And in verse 11, the word consider is there. And then in verse 13, the word presenting is there. So I'm just going to go through the passage fairly quickly, but bring attention to these three key words concerning what the spiritual significance of baptism is. So Paul the Apostle says, what shall we say then? He's addressing believers or Christians. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? And the answer is, may it never be. How shall we who die to sin still live in it? In other words, when a person turns from sin and puts their trust in Jesus Christ and is forgiven for their sin, they're not to continue in that sin. You know, they don't go back and continue it. If they're a bank robber, they're finished with bank robbing banks. You know, they're not going to become a Christian and say, oh yeah, well, I kind of like the money, so go back to it. They're done. They're turning from the sin. Again, the word that we use or Christians use are repent. You maybe heard of that word. They're turning, which means to turn from. They're turning from sin, and they're putting their trust in Christ, and they don't go back to the sin. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin shall live in it? We're not going to continue in that. Or you do not know that all of us who have been baptized, here the word is immersed into Christ, Jesus, have been immersed into his death. We die. When Christ died on the cross for our sin, a believer puts their faith in Christ and they die to their sin at the same time. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. So we're declaring, as Christ died on the cross, I died with him as well, to my sin in this case. It says, verse 4, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism or immersion into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We die with Christ to our sin, and we rise to a new life in Christ, a life that doesn't involve practicing sin. Verse 5, for we have become united with him, the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing, here's that word, the first word I mentioned, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He's saying, you know, we're done with sin. We know that we're dead in Christ. We're dead with him, and we're dead to sin. We're not going to practice that anymore. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. As Christ died, was buried, rose, we die to our sin, rise with him to a new life, a different life than practicing sin. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider, there's the second word, consider yourselves dead to sin, he says, but now alive to God in Christ Jesus. So just to iterate those words again, we're dying with Christ to our sin, and we're rising with Christ to a new life. That's when we put our faith in Christ. We leave our sin behind and trust in Jesus Christ. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again, death no longer is master over him. I'll jump, I already said that verse. So verse 11, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting, there's the third word, presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Last verse, for sin shall not be the master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So we present our bodies to God. So just a quick review, and then I'll close with a little illustration. We're talking about baptism. And baptism, once again, is it doesn't save a person. It doesn't mean they join anything. It's simply an outward expression of an inward reality. The person is saying, sometime in the past, I died to my sin. I left it behind. And I turned to Jesus Christ and received forgiveness for my sin. And I am living a new life. And it's a symbol of being with Christ and following Him. And when we have baptism, the person goes in the water, they're immersed in the water, and it's, if you just follow me, as they go into the water, they're saying, in the past, I died with Christ to my sin. And then as they come out of the water, they're saying, now I have risen with Christ to a new life. This is a symbol of what's happened in the past. Bobby has already put his faith in Christ, and what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his finished work. He's joined with Christ. Again, it's an outward expression or demonstration of the inward reality that he's following Jesus. He died with Christ to a life of following the world. He no longer follows the world. Those of us who have been baptized, it's the same thing. We're following Christ, and he's risen with Christ to a new life. We're thankful that Bobby's going through this step. I've known Bobby for a few years now, so it's really a privilege to be involved in his baptism. I thought I'd close with another illustration from Africa. Senegal, country in North Africa, or I guess not quite the north of Africa, but that area, an Islamic country. And there was a fellow that was a Muslim, and he heard of a church there in Senegal. So he wanted to check it out, and he did. And over a period of time with relating to the people in that church, he came to realize that he was a sinner and that he needed to have forgiveness for his sin. So he put his faith and trust in Christ. And it's quite a big step for a Muslim to do that, especially in an Islamic country. So he put his faith in Christ, left the things of the world, and started living a Christian life. Well, this upset his parents, of course, and his family, that he left Islam to follow Christ. So there was this awkwardness with his family. And then one day, he said to his family, you know, I need to be baptized. I need to demonstrate to the church that I'm going to my Christian friends and to my family that I am a follower of Jesus. And they said, don't get baptized. You will bring this honor to us. He said, I need to do what God tells me to do. And so he did. He was baptized. When he was baptized, his mother was so upset that she rolled in the mud and pulled her hair out, literally, because of his public demonstration of what he believed. His father disowned him. He said, you're no longer my son. You have left Islam, and you've put your faith in Christianity. Yeah, or in Jesus. Yeah, exactly. Well, I trust your parents aren't going to do that, Bobby. They won't. The main thing is that Bobby just wants to demonstrate to us that he's a believer and he's following Jesus Christ and not the world. So we're going to get ready to baptize him. We'll do that right back here. And John's going to come up and lead us in a couple more hymns while we get ready for that. Thank you.
Well, you all have in front of you some hymn books in the little pocket at the back of the pew in front of you. Get out the little blue book, spiral bound book, and turn to number 95. There should be one in every row. And a lot of you know this one already, so just pass the blue book to somebody else if you already know it. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's Bobby's declaration today. Has been for a long time, I believe, too. But Ruth, we'll sing this one a cappella here.
Down in my heart.
Mm-hmm. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Oh, I don't even have that on my list.
It's in
some book.
What book is it in?
She looks it up in
there.
They have some books.
Well, we can just sing it a cappella. There are enough of us that know this. It's okay. Breakdown in communication here. I'm sorry, Diane.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Should no one join me, still I will follow.
Well, welcome everybody. This is a great event. I've been talking to Bobby. We attend a local Bible study, and we've been talking about getting baptized for years now. And we talked about the water trough up on the ranch, and that might work pretty good. And then we talked about the big ditch, but he was a little afraid of getting swept down the stream. The Bitterroot River, as most of us know, is a pretty popular place, but he didn't trust the elders in that one. And this was really his idea to be. He says, "Is there a baptismal in our church?" Yeah, and. So we've been baptizing in the river a lot. So we cleaned the dust out and a lot of other things I won't tell you that was in here. But so we got ready. And this is really a step of faith, following the example that's set down in the book of Acts. We see that practiced throughout the early church. And so Bobby is following Jesus' commandment. I would like to just read a word in that regard. It'll just take a second. And Bobby has prepared a long speech, so I hope you're not hungry. No, he hasn't. So. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead and was about to ascend to heaven, he told his 11 disciples, he said, "Go therefore and make more disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It's interesting that the word name there is singular. One name, three persons, and one God. The name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. "Teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." One of the great promises here is that Jesus is with the believer wherever he goes, forever. And with that, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." And it kind of reminds me of that El Shaddai song that we were singing a moment ago. So with that, I'm going to ask, I'll give that to you, my new Bible. So with that, hold it.
I'll drop it.
Okay.
Forgive me, I have balance issues. I have an early dunk if I don't.
Bobby, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sins?
I have.
Yeah. Is there anything else you would like to share?
Oh, it was just important for my friends and family and brothers and sisters in Christ to be here today. So Christ is Lord of my life and just showing it. So that's about it.
Yeah. One thing about Bobby, he doesn't share a lot of words here, but his life really demonstrates what he believes. And there's a lot of people in this valley that have witnessed his witness and testimony for Jesus. So
I still argue more than I should. I apologize.
All right. Right now, I'd like everybody to pray that Peter and I can not just get him down, but also get him up.
Okay.
You want to hang on to me?
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we baptize you. With that, we'll have a word of prayer also. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for how you work in our lives, how you've worked in Bobby's life, especially today, and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit in these past years working in his life and transforming him into the image of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that as the newness of life is demonstrated by coming out of the water, as Jesus came out of the grave, that that Bobby would continue with whatever days and years you give him to live and to serve you with all of his heart. We recognize there'll be mistakes and failures. We all have them. But thank goodness our sins are taken care of at the cross. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We were going to have a picnic, but it's a little bit not shady and warm outside. So we're going to do the grilling outside, but the food is going to be in the basement. And I'm going to ask a couple of regular guys here to volunteer to help set up tables and things down in the basement. And Ruth can go down and call the shots down there. So you all have one of these in the in front of you in the pew. Let's see if I communicated this one right. Number 548. In the red hymnal back. Okay. I would help if I would look it up myself.